to cover from last week. So last week we were talking about different times, different things that are included whenever we're making hamotzi, different things like that. So there's one last sif that I meant to get to that I didn't get to. So in Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin Sif Hey, so there the Shulchan Aruch talks about that if after one makes a bracha, so I'll just read it for everybody because no one else has the sheets. Over there it says Im Achar Shavir Chal Pas. Let's say somebody makes a bracha on bread, they make hamotzi, everything's fine. But then Shulchan Beis Vacherim, all of a sudden someone knocks on your door and says, hey, I wanted to give you some deli sandwich or something, whatever it was. It doesn't matter how integral to the meal it is, a piece of chicken, a piece of meat, it doesn't matter what it is. So she'enu somach aleihem, now this is not a table that you're regular to, this is not where you're not eating from them, you're literally in your own house. Lo ha'idal to aldarim, you didn't expect this to happen. Afilu mitzvarim shadarkin lavu lafas abas, even though it's something that's usual to be part of your bread, even if it's, let's say, something like tuna or something, which literally you usually put it on bread. So here I'm going to eat this piece of tuna. I'm going to eat it. So he says, "Tzarich lavarich aleihem kedin nimlach." You have to make a brach on it because you weren't expecting it at all. Now on that, the Ramah quotes and he says, "V'lo re'isi nizhar b'zeh." I have never seen people be careful of this. People knock on doors all the time. People show up. People bring you food, and I have never, says the Ramah, seen anybody ever say, "Oh, hold on, everyone, stop. Let's go make a brach." Now the Efshar, so he says it must be. Maybe the reason is as follows: the Taima. Maybe the reason is the Stam Dasa Adam. That a person, when they make hamotzi, when they're ready to eat, their plan is that anything that comes my way, I'm going to cover. Whether that means that I'm going to get up in the middle of my meal and say, well, I've been eating chicken, now I'm going to switch to hot dogs. It doesn't matter what my plan is, that I'm always going to have this in mind. And to the extent that even though I have no intention of anything, I'm sitting there, I'm eating, somebody knocks on my door and says, oh, you'll never believe it, we have this delicious, whatever it was, this delicious chong, why don't you give it a shot? I say, sure. So the Ramah says, even that I have intention for, and therefore even that I wouldn't have to make a bracha. Now, obviously, the Ramah is not so accepted, because if you, well, again, you don't have pages, so I'm telling you to go to pages that you don't have. Well, but if you were to have the pages, then you would go to page 2, so then you will see that the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't really get it. He says that reason doesn't really apply. He says, Eliyim Kain, b'makom shekain derech ha'shchenim l'shloach zelazeh. Oh, hakrovim shulchim zelze. If you're in a situation where it's common, every once in a while, you never know. You live in a very Jewish neighborhood. You have neighbors all over on your block. So then, every once in a while, not often, but every once in a while, you never know. Somebody may knock on your door and say, oh, you'll never believe it. I made this chicken pot pie. It's the greatest thing in the world. You got to try it. So then, if that would happen, so because it's somewhat, even though it's unusual, but since it happens every once in a while, it would be included within my bracha. However, he then goes on, avo belavach, but if not, im b'mikra shalach echel chaver, if all of a sudden, just out of the blue, literally out of the clear blue sky, somebody sends something to their friend, b'emsa asura, eiza tashel, then tzarech levarach alav berchaso, one would have to make a new bracha on it. Again, unless, the only exception to that, im lo kisha ochlin impas, unless you actually eat it with bread. So if they send you over a can of tuna, they say, oh, you'll never believe it, I made this tuna salad, it's delicious. And you take it and you say, okay, I'm going to put it on my bread, then you wouldn't have to make a bracha. But in any other situation where it's not common for you to ever get food from your neighbor, so then if all of a sudden someone sends you a piece of chicken, even though it's true, it's usually made to be eaten during the meal, so therefore, of course, usually we never make a bracha on this thing. Since it comes in the middle of your meal from some outside source which you never expected, so then you would have to make a new bracha on the piece of chicken or a new bracha on that piece of meat, because all of that would be so outside of your framework, outside of your mind, and therefore you'd have to make a new bracha. What? If it was a sandwich, you'd be okay. That's what I'm saying. Sorry. If it was like, if they literally, they gave you some tuna and then you put a bread, or if you actually eat bread.
You got like an Italian beef sandwich. So you want that bread that it's on because it's got all that juice on it.
Yeah.
Then do you have to make another emoji on that bread because it's different bread?
What, that they would send you with?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. The only time it would be off is if you literally ate it with bread that you already had, right? I have bread. I'm eating. I have bread that I already made hamotzi on. And then you send me some tuna, and then I take the tuna, I put it on the bread. Then, because it's already tuffel, it's already secondary to the bread that I already have, so then you wouldn't have to make a new bracha on it. But if I would be, again, in a situation where it's not usual for me to bring, anyone brings me anything. I have my meals. I've never once had somebody knock on my door in the middle of a meal and say, oh, here you go, have some food. So therefore, so then I would always have to make a bracha, unless I'm eating it with the bread that I already have. Right, so Purim may be a situation that it's always common that people are knocking on your door. So as long as by situation, or per situation, it's common that people would knock on your door and people would bring you food at any given time, so then one would not have to make a bracha. But if it's just on a regular Shabbos, which it's not usual for people to come by and just knock out, here, have some food, then you would be required to make a new bracha.
When I'm a guest at somebody else's house, and I have no idea what they're going.
Right, so that's the exception. Sorry, that's the exception. Whenever you're a guest, you're automatically by the das bala. You're already on their whatever they serve. You're covered as long as they knew they were having it. Again, if it's something that comes from the outside that they didn't expect, also once they would have to make a bracha, you'd have to make a bracha. But if it's something that they were expecting to have, so then you wouldn't have to make a bracha. You'd be all covered. Yeah. Again, I mean, you don't even have to be at somebody else's house. There are plenty of husbands out there that are guests at their own house. They wouldn't know what they themselves are serving. So for them, it would already be something that they wouldn't know what's happening. But just from the fact that their wife brings it, that already covers it.
And what makes it common? Three times it happens?
I mean, probably anything. I mean, the truth is, if it even happened once or twice, I would imagine that's already called common. That's already called, it doesn't have to be common. It just has to be there's a possibility that can happen. So once there's a possibility that can happen, so then we assume anytime there's even a possibility, we imagine that when you were making your hamotzi, even though you didn't think about it, you had automatic thought process to say, well, it could be. Remember, there was that one time that person came over and they knocked on the door and they brought me something. So then that's already included in such a thing. All right, so now we come to page 3. That's really where we're starting at. So it's a perfect introduction. So on page 3, so today we're going to try to talk about what makes something I once said this in a shir, everyone got mad at me. I was going to say what makes something a fruit and what makes something a vegetable, but I think by definition that's wrong. Because what makes something into a bracha that would be required to make a ha'etz, and one would have to make a hadama. Okay, so there are going to be all these different rules, all these different types of things. And again, I won't be able to tell you every single fruit and vegetable out there, because I don't know how all of them grow, but I'll try to express the basic ideas, and some of them I may happen to know how they grow, but not all of them. Okay, if you look on page 3, so on page 3, there is, if you go 3, 4, 5, like 6 lines up from the bottom of the page, there's a 2 dots. So the beginning of this Gemara actually isn't that relevant, but at least it's an important Gemara for everyone to know. So it's worth it to just go through it just to get somewhat of a running start. The Gemara says, like Gemara had already told us, that if one makes a bracha, if one makes a hadama on ha'etz, so they would cover it. Even though it's true, a ha'etz is a ha'etz, it's on a tree, but since its sustenance comes from the fruit to the tree to the ground, therefore if you make the bracha of hadama on something that grows on a tree, you would still be covered. Now the Gemara goes even further. Then the Gemara says, on something that grows from a tree, you should make the bracha of ha'etz. So the Gemara says, pshit, of course, I know that. Why wouldn't I? It grows from a tree. It seems to be a pretty appropriate bracha. Then on something that grows from a tree, you should make the bracha of borei pri eitz, praiseworthy is God, he who created fruit from a tree. So where is it? I'll tell you why. Because Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo nitzricha el Rav Yehuda. It's really, this whole Mishnah is necessary to get rid of the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Why? Because the Amar chita min ilanu. Because Rav Yehuda has this opinion that wheat is actually a type of tree. Now where does that come from? The Tanya. Ilan sha'achol mimenu Adam harishon. The tree that Adam harishon first ate from. So what was it? Everyone will say it was an apple tree. So there are 4 opinions in the Gemara. Remeir Omer Geffen. Remeir says actually it was a grapevine. Now the fruit that Adam Rishon ate from, he ate from a grapevine, and he made a ha'etz as well. He ate from that grapevine, and that was the bracha. That was the fruit that he ate. How do I know? She'en lecha davar shemevi yalala al ha'adam el yayin. The thing that will bring death to a person is going to be wine. A person goes their whole life, they don't drink wine, they'll be in a better situation. You drink wine, it can bring you to all sorts of negative things. And therefore, because we know the eating of this fruit tree was something negative in Adam Rishon's life, we assume it was from wine, it was from grape. She'enemar, v'yesh v'ne yayin v'yeshko. We have other psukim by Noach, that Noach ate from wine and he was drunk. That's one opinion. Reb Nechemya, totally tangentially, Reb Meir and Reb Nechemya and Reb Yehuda, for that matter, are all students of Reb Akiva who were celebrating at Lag BaOmer, but that's not for now. Anyways, Reb Nechemya Omer, Te'ena. Actually, it wasn't a grapevine. It was a Te'ena. It was a fig tree. Ha'isa Shevedavish and Niskalkubo, because we see they ate the fig tree, and then right after they ate the fig tree, Niskanu, that was the clothing that they used. Shenemar Ba'itapru Ale Te'ena, that they sewed clothing from the leaf of a fig tree. And since that happens right after they were in the garden, therefore we can assume it was the fig tree that they ate from. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Chitaisu, comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, the tree, remember it's a tree, the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from, when he committed the sin, it was a wheat tree. She'en hatinek yodei likros abba v'ima ad she'yitom tam dagan. Because a person does not know how to call their parents until they have the taste of grain. So you would have thought, Salkatei Dechamina, you would have thought, Ho of Am Rabbi Yehuda Chita Min Ilan, who, since you would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a piece of wheat, a kernel of wheat, is a tree, so therefore the Varach Lebrei Preitz, you would have said, okay, so therefore you should make a ha'etz, because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a tree. Kamash Malan, we don't make a ha'etz on wheat. Now, why don't we make a ha'etz on wheat? Again, this is talking about wheat that you eat raw, not wheat that you eat that's already been developed and cooked, which would be a mazonos. Why not? So the Gemara says, Hecha mevarchin a bray eitz. Only in the following situation do you make a ha'eitz. Hecha dechishak lelev liperi. When you take off the fruit, isi legavza, there is still a gavza, which is an undefined word. But if you look at Rashi on the right hand side, Rashi calls it that the branch is still there. So it means that after I take off some fruit, the branch is still there, and then the hadar mapik, and then another fruit grows from that very same branch. And only in that situation would one only make the bracha of ha'etz. Moving on to page 4 for a second. However, avalahecha dechishakta leleperi. However, if I take off the fruit from the tree, and then lacy lagava the hutter mapping, and again, according to Rashi, the way you read the score is that there is no branch. There is no branch that will come out with another tree, with another fruit, I'm sorry. So you may have the branch still there, but no fruit grows again from that branch. So then, lo mevarchinan aleya brei pre eitz ela brei pre dam. In that situation, it would not be growing from a tree. Rather, we would call it growing from the ground, and one would make the bracha of ha'adam. That is the way the Gemara says it. Gemara brachas over hamem and beis, and Rashi defines it by, when I pick it off the branch, so will there be another fruit that grows from the branch? Now, that's going to be very rare. I mean, I don't claim to be an expert on how fruits grow. I have no idea how fruits grow. I grew up in Chicago. We don't have any fruits over here. But I'm just saying, in general, usually, if you would take a trip, my guess would be that after you pick an orange off a tree, I don't think it comes from the very same, I don't know if it reproduces itself, it will be from the very same branch. But even if it is true by an orange, but there are a ton of fruits out there that it's not true by. You pick it, and then it has a one-time yield, we'll call it a one-time yield. You pick it, and then it restarts itself the following year, and it's another branch, or it's another place where it grows from.
But you can have more than one fruit per branch.
You can have more than one fruit per branch. What does that mean? Sorry, I was trying to just repeat it.
Yeah. If you take a tomato plant, for example.
Okay, you pick it off.
Right, so there's more than one tomato on that.
Right, but what happens afterwards? Will it reproduce itself afterwards?
It's not a tree, but
whatever it is.
It's fine, it's going to be there the following year.
Right, so you have one branch and you have four oranges on there.
Right.
You pick one off, will another orange grow?
It has to grow from the exact same
That's what it sounds like. Again, the way Rashi defines the more.
It has to grow from the same branch.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we need another branch, maybe we need another spot. I mean, we're not really going to hold the way, so I don't want to get too hung up on it. But yeah, but that Rashi makes it seem like it has to literally reproduce in the place where it was. Okay, but that's just the opinion of Rashi. We're not really going to hold anything. Because then, if you go to page 5, we'll see the other extreme. So that extreme was the extreme that the branch has to still be there, and it has to regrow from the branch itself. Now, if you look on page 5, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. If you look on page 5, so then you will see that you get the other extreme. If you look on the right-hand column, you'll see there is a little lamed, the second right on the top line on the right-hand side. So there is, this is the Rush commenting. The Rush comment says the Gemara says, "Kol davar she'osa peros mishana l'shana." As long as it makes fruit from year to year, nikra eitz. That is called a tree. If I have to replant it every year, that is nikra pri ha'arth. That would be you make a hadam. Well, so this is the other extreme. Your Rashi's extreme was that the branch has to stay alive from year to year. That through the winter, you have to have a branch still there. But now all of a sudden, the Rashi says, I'm going to take the other extreme. Forget the branch. I don't care if there's a branch there. I don't even care if the trunk stays there. If you don't replant that tree, it is called a tree. And therefore, on almost everything in the world, you would make a ha'etz, which would include, tangentially, strawberries. It would include all these types of berries that the bush, you don't have to replant it. It's true. If you look at enough pictures of Google, you'll start seeing this.
Strawberries are in the ground. They're not on the bush.
But they grow off something. It's not right off the ground. There's something growing up.
They're a plant.
A vine. There's something that grows off from the ground. It's not growing from the ground. It grows on a vine or something, and then it grows
low.
From there.
No,
it's low. No, I know it's low, but there's something there.
It grows on just a plant.
A plant.
But it is a perennial.
It's something. Yeah, it's a perennial. Yeah. But it's a perennial, but it comes out of the ground. However much it comes out of the ground. We'll get there in a second. Give me a little time. It comes out from the ground, and then it comes out from the ground. So then all of it comes, says the Rush. I don't care, even though it's true, if you walk through a strawberry field in the middle of the winter, you will see nothing. There's nothing there. But because the following spring, it's going to sprout out. You don't have to replant it. It's going to come naturally. So the Rush says that would define it as a tree, and therefore you would make ha'etz on anything that is a perennial, regardless of whether you could see it in the winter or not, as long as I don't have to replant it. That is the second opinion brought by the Rush. And that is the other extreme. So we have our two extremes. We have Rush saying the branch has to still be there. You have the Rush saying as long as you don't replant it. And then halacha comes to the middle. If you look on page 6, you'll see the actual halacha. On page 6, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you look, there's a beis, a big beis over there. I don't know, right under the Reish Gimel, there's a beis. Again, I didn't underline, so I didn't have time. So he says, Al Hatusim, if you have berries, Hagadolim Besna, they grow in a bush. So Berei Pri Hadama says the Shulchan Aruch, strawberries, all these other types of berries that grow on a bush. So those are all a Hadama. Now, why are they Hadama? Says the Ramah, he continues, he says, I'll tell you why. He says, God, the lo mikri eitz, it's not called a tree, el shemotzi alav me'etzo. What that means is that what happens is that the trunk of the tree remains there. Since the trunk of the tree remains, or whatever is there, therefore, since there is a trunk and there is a branch that comes from that trunk, so therefore, what that means is that it's growing from the tree. However, if during the winter there's nothing there, all there's roots, and that's it, or roots, depending where you're from, and that's all that's there, there's nothing else there, so then in such a situation, lo mikra eitz, such a thing would not be called a tree. So now all of a sudden comes the Ramah, he takes the two extremes. You have Rashi's extreme that says the branch has to be there. You have the Rashi's extreme that says that as long as you don't replant, it's called a tree. And the Ramah says, let's go in the middle, and says, well, it depends. If the trunk of the tree remains, so then that would be called the ha'eitz. If the trunk of the tree is gone, so then it would be a hadama. Okay, bananas. So bananas have all sorts of problems also. So he says, the hani, keeping the color eitzav. So since it's the wood, i.e. the trunk is gone, the gamri, b'choref, the hara parach m'shashav, then it grows from the roots. The varach nala b'rei pri, sorry, moving to page 7, b'rei pri adama, that would be adama. Don't worry, I'm going to go right back to 6 in a second. So those would all be adama, and that's how the Ramah takes it, and that is the first quality that something needs to be true. In order for something to be a haith, it has to be that the trunk is able to survive the winter. If the trunk survives the winter, even though the branches are gone, and even though there are no fruit there, but as long as there is a trunk there, as long as there's something there, so then they would be a haith. So that would be all sorts of trees, orange trees, apple trees, all these different things. So even though it's true, the branches are gone, the fruit is gone, it's not going to replenish every year, but because the trunk is still there during the winter, so then all these things are going to be ha'eitz, and that would be our first distinction of how to make something ha'eitz. Okay, that's rule number one. Now we get to rule number two. If you go back to page 6 for a second, you will see there's a gimel all the way towards the bottom. I don't know how to describe it. It says there's a bolded word, dekala eitzav, right after the gimel. So then... You could. The truth is, you can really skip. If you go back, okay. There's a four, like sort of three quarters of the way through the page. There's a four. It says the Paris Adumin Shikoran Pazi Makis, and then there's a four, some word. So there, he's talking about different types of fruits. Now, if you go down one more line. That's not true. Two more lines. There's a period, and it says, what would happen if you have a fruit that grows on very, very, very low trees? So, blueberries, strawberries, cranberries, all those things grow on very low trees. You'll tell me, no, cranberries don't grow on low trees. Cranberries grow on vines that are across the floor. But if our first definition is the only definition, which is that it has to be a perennial, so cranberries are perennials. There's nothing, you don't have to replant the cranberries. The vine is still there running across the floor. And while it's true, it may be true that there's nothing growing in the winter, but still it will be perennial. Then the following year, the cranberries will shoot out again from that vine. So now, what about all those things? What bracha do you make on some blueberries, strawberries, blueberries, and cranberries. Those are really what's under discussion. So he said, so there's two different types of blueberries. So there are blueberries that grow very low, and there are blueberries that grow very high. Okay, so let's just talk about the low ones for a second. So they're on these very low trees. As long as they're less than 3 tefachim, as long as they're less than 9 inches off the ground, kamo yagdish shkorim, blackberries, that's Hamagen Avram, v'od kama achronim, levarach lembebreitz. The Hamagen Avram says, good, make a eitz. They're a perennial tree. They're year and year and year and year. Therefore, make a eitz on blueberries, make a eitz on blackberries, make a eitz on cranberries. Now, ach, ha'olam no hagen levar brebi dama. However, says Mishruah, the minhag of the world, the custom of the world, is to make a adama. Now, why would that be? He says, v'efshar, perhaps, the time, but maybe the reason is, d'lo chashivi kol kach pri. They're really not called a fruit. They're really not called a fruit because they're growing so low to the ground. And therefore, the Mishruah himself says that he recommends that one should make a adama on blueberries, blackberries, and cranberries. But then, and he's quoting this minhag that he found. It seems to be, he's just saying that if I look around, listen, it would be very nice if we would all follow the halacha. The problem is, I look around, and looking around the world, everybody's sitting there, and everybody's making adama. So based off that minhag, the Mishruah says to make adama. However, if you move ahead to page 8, you will see that on page 8, Ramosha is a tshuva, and they ask Ramosha this question. And on page 8, he says, Hayagdil Shchorim, again, going back to our blackberries over here, so comes along the Ramosha and the Tshuva. Shekazav HaMishabru, again, he quotes the same Mishabru. Simon Reish Gimel Siv Katan Gimel. Shedas HaMagen Avram, the Od Achronim, Levarach Brei Preyetz. All these wonderful rabbis, they say you make a hate. However, the Mishabru signs off, so all of a sudden, the Mishabru says, you make a dama. So he says, first of all, rak elu shekidol be'alanos katanos. These are only true, like the Mishabru himself said, if they grow on very low trees. Blueberries, most the commercial blueberries do not grow on low shrubs. They grow on huge trees that are much more than 9 inches off the ground. Cranberries are always growing on the ground, but blueberries and other things, they grow on a much higher place. It's true, if you go blueberry picking, it's possible that you'll go and you'll find the ones that are very low. But if you buy the commercial blueberries, you walk into the village market and you find the deal for $2, you'll buy a blueberry. Well, all those come from high trees, and therefore there's no question that on a commercial blueberry, you are going to make a hayitz.
You're also in 1980
if you go for $2.
We're talking about the species, right? We're not talking about the individual plant. Meaning
well, it almost sounds like the way he's making it is it's going to be, the Mishru will make it, plant-by-plant basis. That you'll walk into, you'll go blueberry picking, and you'll walk in there and you'll say, oh, these are all low to the ground. You pick them, you make a hadam, according to Mishru. Then they'll say, oh, these blueberries came from that tree up there that, some guy was up there hitting it with a baseball bat, and they all fell down, so those would be a very pre-age, according to the way the Mishru understands it. So he would split them up. However, Ramosh himself says, okay, that's the first thing he says. Sorry, he says, "Rakish shagun bilanos tana shagovam pachs megimul tachem." They have to be less than 3 tefachim. Shahayim mitzuyim b'mino senin that we have in our countries. Aval hayagdu shcharim she bepo gedelim al ilanos gavos. It says in New York, I guess they grow on very high trees. Harbi yosim megimul tefachim, more than 3 tefachim. Al elu tarch levarach borei pira eitz ukliyam. And on those, there's no question you'd have to make a ha'eitz. Then he says, and even more than that, the gamma yagdus shchar v'shem v'min asenu, even the ones in our country, afshem mishavru kaza shalolim no hagin levar brebilam, even though the mishavru says make adama, says Ramosh, chenis v'chayadim, and the chayadim says it, lo haya minig zebuchol ha'olim, not the entire world accepted this minig, the mishavru may have said it, it may have been limited to the mishavru's locale, and their minig was that on low fruit, on fruit that comes from a tree less than 9 inches off the ground, you make adama. However, says Ramosh in the tshuva, the b'harbi mekomos gam sviv v'senu haya mevarachim brei pre. There's plenty of people all over the world that make so eats on them. If their minhag is not known, or even better, if you're in a locale like Chicago where there are no minhagim, there are no city minhagim in Chicago about what rules you're going to follow, so therefore you can really make up your own rules to some degree. He says, so then, Yesh Levarich Brei Prei Eitz, one should make a Brei Prei Eitz. This is what the Ramosha says in Tshuva, and therefore Ramosha personally would tell you that on blueberries, on cranberries, and all these things, as long as they perennially come through, every one of them will be a Eitz. For sure, blueberries and those things, because listen, anyways, they grow from higher trees. But even cranberries, where we know they're growing off the ground, they are a vine on the ground. Still, Ramosha would write that a cranberry, if you eat it, it would be a Brei Prei Eitz. Now, if you look, at all the websites, if you look open the websites all tell you to make a hadama on cranberries. I went back and forth on emails to them. They didn't really answer me, but I was pretty convincing. I thought that you should make a hadama and then you should make a hadama on all of them. So I was again the minhag is to make a hadama. So listen, if that's what someone has the minhag, they obviously have what to rely on. Mishru says you can make a hadama. Just if you would ask me my opinion, I would tell you that on cranberries and all these things, one should make a hadama, not a hadama. And that's going to be by all these roots, no matter how low they are. And that those are really the only two rules you have. Number one rule is that it's perennial, and if it's perennial, you make a eighth. And then according to Mishru, they have to be more than 9 inches, which again, Ramosha doesn't hold like, which a lot of people will not hold like, and therefore they'll make a eighth on blueberries, on cranberries, and all these different things. The only catch is that there are certain trees out there where we'll get this sort of in a second, where they don't really grow off a off a branch. A papaya, for example, doesn't grow off a branch. It's connected to the trunk of the tree. And therefore, since it's connected to the trunk of the tree, therefore, even though a papaya may be perennial, it's unclear if it is. Well, hold on. Let me try to make sense of this. Of course it's perennial. It comes back every year. But what happens in a papaya tree, again, without me knowing anything, just from what I read, is that the papaya tree, let's say, is 10 feet high. And a papaya grows. Great. The following year, the tree is like 13 feet high and another papaya grows. But it's not from the same trunk where it was before. It's not like in the same spot. It's 3 feet higher, and then this trunk actually can't grow anything anymore. The first 10 feet, it's only one. So even if you claim that that is a fruit that is a perennial, which again, it's unclear, but it wouldn't matter because it grows right off the trunk. There's no stem, there's no branch, there's nothing going on. So papaya would be a hadama. Now that's really the same thing about raspberries. Raspberries also, they don't grow, there's nothing there. Well, there's two problems with raspberries. Number one, it doesn't have a branch, so that's why it's a hadama. But also, the raspberry root roots, right? The raspberry roots, they only last 2 or 3 years. They're not perennial.
Last
they last longer?
Oh, yeah. I've had mine for 30 years.
30 years? But same roots?
No,
really?
They're actually new shoots growing. The canes die down. Yeah. And you're actually having...
Really?
No.
I'm shocked. All the books say 3 years. That's it.
The same
it doesn't matter.
Branch.
You can't wash them anyway.
No, but the same branch doesn't live three years. In other words, it's
maybe
like a rose bush.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's the same shoots, but it's different.
Yeah.
Okay, so
well,
maybe that's what it is.
Plan.
Right. Okay, fine. So that's what it is. All right. Okay, because all the books I was reading, all these.
Yeah.
Now I'm a.
I'm sorry because they never get out of your life.
Yeah. No.
They're weeds,
I'm,
but they're different.
Right.
Weeds.
They keep growing. Okay, so that's what it is. So these raspberries. I kept reading. I'm telling you, I'm reading all these books about flowers and plants and all these different things. And they kept writing. They kept saying, well, these they only survive 2 or 3 years. So because they only survive 2 or 3 years, right? Again, the shoots only survive 2 or 3 years. So therefore, they're not really perennial. They're only perennial for about 2 years. And therefore, on raspberries as well, one would only make a hadam and not a ha'eitz. But outside of those couple exceptions, the basic rule is that as long as you have a perennial, and the perennial is it's constant for a lot of years, one would make a ha'eitz on all those things.
The raspberry is attached to the stem.
That's the second problem. The two problems with raspberries, number one is attached to the stem, and number two is that it's not really a perennial. It's only a perennial for about a year or two, 2 or 3 years.
Are blueberries attached to the stem too?
Not, again, I'm just throwing the books. I've never actually seen a blueberry bush.
It's blueberry picking.
What?
Huh?
Yeah, you go, I'm just saying that from the what the books say. And then again, not to say that I'm...
So blueberries are eights or are there more eights?
So there are eights. I would make eights on blueberries all the time. Okay, now we get to one of my more favorite topics, which is the hearts of palm. So hearts of palm have become this new fascinating thing that everybody likes to eat. And it, again, you look at all the websites, I shouldn't say all the websites, if you look at the Sarkei website, the Sarkei will tell you that you should make a ha'eitz on hearts of palm. The reason why they say that is because they say, listen, the tree, these hearts of palm trees are grown specifically for the heart of the palm. You grow it, and they don't let it grow too high. You cut it down, you take it out, you develop it, and there you go, you have yourself hearts of palm, fantastic. Now the tree comes right back up. I mean, the tree will restart every year, and they'll be ready to go. So the question is, so therefore they say, great, Shabbat Eitz, it follows all the rules. It's a perennial, and the tree is planted for the hearts of palm. Even though it's true, had you let it last longer, it could be there would be better benefit to the tree than eating the heart of the palm. That may be the case, but it doesn't matter. The facts on the ground are that these trees are planted for the plant, for the hearts of palm, and therefore the Starkei writes on their website that one should make a ha'eitz on these hearts of palm. However, if you go ahead and you look on page 9 over here, so you will find, this is going to be a disaster to try to find this, but you will find on page 9, if you look on the left-hand side, there's something called the Bir Halacha, it's still the Mishnah writing, but he writes a little bit of a different flair. So there he writes, this is going to be a little bit hard to find. So if you look, give me a second. If you look, so this is what happens when you don't underline. I might just have to tell it to you because I can't find it fast. But if you look, I did a good job over there. If you look where I wrote the 9, I really didn't plan this. So if you look to where I wrote the line, if you go to the right where I wrote the 9, there is a comma, and it says the word v'chein. So there's a bunch of v'cheins there. Not that good. So if you go the line below the v'chein, there's a period, and it says Ella. Okay? So he says, the Mishnah is trying to understand, why would it be that the Rambam writes that on a sugar cane? If you have a sugar cane, you don't make a ha'eitz. What you make is a different story, but, we're not going to talk about the hero because I don't think most people walk around eating sugar canes, but the question is, why don't you make a ha'eitz on sugar cane? So there, says the Mishmur, the Bir Halacha, here's what I think. He says, Ela tama Rambam, hu be'emes pashem bo l'nizayti. I'll tell you what I think the answer of the Rambam is. He says, the Bahag, where this is all coming from, is, did I skip?
No,
I didn't skip, right? Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. The Bahag Gufe is the Dechila de Kamaisa, Zalashonu, sugar, when you have sugar, Vakanya sugar, and you have these sugar canes, right? Predama. Valavishum, it's not because the Sphirile de Kanalav ate too. It's not that he's saying the cane is not a tree, that's not why. Ella Hakan Sphirile de Avagav de ate too, even though it is a tree, here's the line. Kivan de lav peri kamafik, there is no fruit from the tree. The lav peri kachlinan, you're not eating fruit from the tree. You're not eating fruit from the tree. You are eating the tree itself. And says the Bir Halacha, that is why the Rambam writes that on sugar and on sugar canes, you would only make a hadama or a shako. You would not make a eitz because it's not growing. There's no fruit coming out of the tree. It is the tree itself. And therefore, writes the Bir Halacha, you can grow, you're growing it for the sugar. It doesn't matter what you're growing it for. Even if I'm growing it for the sugar, still it goes down to a dam. So if you follow that logic, it will be the exact same thing when it comes to hearts of palm. Hearts of palm as well. It's true, they're being grown for the hearts of palm. And it's true that they're going to regrow. The problem is that you're eating the actual tree. You are not eating a fruit from the tree. It's not growing on the tree and then a fruit is coming out. It is the actual the trunk of the tree, the inside, but still it's the trunk of the tree. So according to that, even though it's very nice that the Sarkhe writes that once you make a ha'etz on hearts of palm, again, if you ask my opinion, I would tell you there's no question you should be making a hadama on hearts of palm because they are the actual tree. They are not a fruit of the tree, and therefore one would make a hadama on hearts of palm. Okay, now, moving on. We're going to run out of time. Okay, now, if we move on, we'll have to go a little quicker than I thought. If you go on to page 10, so now with all this in mind, so now we know the basic rules. We have things that are perennials. As long as you're eating the fruit of the tree, all these different things are going to be everyone will have, you'll make a eight. If it's the actual tree, you'll make a dumb. We'll just do one more thing because we're going to run out of time. If we look at just one more thing, the question is going to come up. The question is going to come up in our day and age where everyone's very excited about doing things themselves. So the question is going to come up, what happens when you juice a fruit? If you juice a fruit, what bracha are you going to get when you juice the fruit? For sure, also when you actually buy fruit juice, that's one question. But also in general, if you decide to juice a fruit yourself, what bracha is it going to be when you actually juice that fruit? So if you look over there, if you look again on page 10, and you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8, 9, about 9 lines down. The Gemara, the first word line is Ravashi. So Ravashi tells us as follows. Ravashi says, Haidufcho de Tamri, the so to speak, honey that comes out of a date. Mevarachan alo shakol niya bidvaru. You make a shahakol when it comes out of that date. Now, what's the reason? My time. What's the reason why I make a shahakol? Because Zeya ba'almahu, all it is it's considered sweat. It's not considered the actual product of the fruit. It is something separate that happens to be inside of the fruit. Just to compare it, and again, I want to get into more detail about this, and I will next week because I ran out of time, but just to compare it, if you look on page 11, just to compare it for a second, and you look, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom, the first one on the line is Rav Papa. Rav Papa, who agrees to Rav Ashi. Rav Papa's agreeing to Rav Ashi. There's no arguments going on over here. So Rav Papa, he says, pshitili, there's no question. Maya de Silky, let's say somebody is in the mood for beets. They say it is good for your circulation. So you take your beets and you cook your beets. You don't actually eat it, you cook the beets. So now I eat the water, I eat the soup, I eat the liquid that comes out of the cooked beets. So he says, kisilka, that's actually like the beet, even though there's no beet left. Again, whatever it is, you cook it in one of those bags, one of those cheese net things, you cook it, and therefore all the flavor comes out, and then I pick up all the beets, and again, this is a simple way to understand the Gemara. We'll see there are other ways to understand it. But the simple way to understand it is I put it into the water, all the liquid cooks out, and then I remove it from the water. Still, it would be a hadama, no question, because it is the fruit of the water of the beet is the beet itself. Umaya delifte, and the water of a turnip, kilifte, is actually like the turnip itself. Umaya de kuli shalki, and the water of all vegetables. When you cook vegetables, the vegetables are like the vegetable, and therefore the here where Rav Papa talks about soups, where when you have soup and you have cooked, when you cook a vegetable, the vegetable turns, the water turns into that vegetable itself, because then it's not flavor that you are just extracting from the fruit itself. That we consider the actual flavor of the vegetable, and when we consider the actual flavor of the vegetable, then in those situations you would make a hadam. So again, just to compare, you have, when you squeeze a fruit, the way halacha looks at it is that the juice that comes out is not the actual flavor of the fruit. It is a separate thing that happens to be contained inside of the fruit, and therefore it's not a ha'etz, rather it's a shahakal. However, if you have a vegetable where you then cook and the liquid comes out of that which you cooked, so then it's not something separate that came out. It is the actual flavor that is embedded inside of the fruit itself that comes out. And when that you hit the water, when you hit the soup, then it is a hadam or a eitz, whatever you're cooking. That's the requirement. Okay, now, we'll just get started. We'll try to finish it. Now you'll tell me, great, every time I make a vegetable soup, every time I do something where I'm going to cook it, automatically, it will get the bracha of the vegetable soup. Now, that's not so simple because you will look on page 13. I skipped 12. I'm not sure why, but because I was going fast, so I skipped 12. Don't tell my teachers I don't know how to count. But if you go there on page 13, you will see that on the left-hand side, there's a yud. and not in the middle, on the left-hand side under the Beis Yosef column, where again he says, V'imbishel ha-pri, v'nichnas tam ha-pri, b'mayim kazav ha-rashba, shemavarech lo shakal. So even though this Gemara just said, you make a adama, you cook that turnip, you cook a beet, that water, as adama says the rashba, you make a shakal. Why? Zel l'shon prakak ketz mavarechim, v'shogel el tamri. He says, if you cook a date, the nafkim in edusha, you cook it, derech bishel, mim varech labrei prei eitz, they ask the rashba, do you make all eitz on cooked dates where the water comes out, and now it should be, we would all say, sure. Just like the Gemara said, if you cook a vegetable, the water is adama, so you would imagine when you ask the rashba, if you cook a fruit, does it become eitz? You would think you would say eitz. However, the rashba doesn't say that. The rashba says, no, you actually make a shahakal on that, you don't make all eitz. And the difference is because the rashba goes on to explain, when it's normal to cook something, and you cook it, then the water gets the flavor of it, and we say, okay, good. Now the bracha follows the vegetable itself. So a beet is normal to cook. Since a beet is normal to cook, when you cook it in water, and then you have the flavor, you have the soup of the beet, so then it gets the bracha of the beet, and you make adama. However, when you cook grapes and dates and oranges or other things like that, where it's not as normal to cook those things, usually you would actually eat them, you'd eat them without cooking, you'd eat them raw, that's what I'm looking for. You'd eat them raw, so then since it's not normal to cook them, one would only make a shahakal on that juice, because this is not normal to cook it, we don't look at that juice as if it is the fruit itself. It's only when it is normal to cook that juice. Now, it's not only when it's normal. So, I'm sorry, it's not only when it's cooking. It's also soaking would be the very same thing. If it soaks in there for 24 hours, it would be the very same thing. Now, again, we'll try to get all the rules all at once. So, number one, it has to be that it's cooked. That's the only way that a liquid will ever get the bracha of the vegetable or fruit itself. Number two, it has to be normal to cook that fruit or vegetable. So, potato, tomato, I don't know, whatever else is normal to cook. As long as it's normal to eat cooked. Therefore, that would be the second condition. The third condition would be, If you look on page 15, you'll see the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam there in Halacha Dalet, it's towards the bottom of the page. Again, he talks about Yerako Shedarkon Lishlok Shlokon Mevarach Al Mei Shlak Shalhem Brei Prei Adama. Well, that's a lot of funny words. So you make Adama, but here is his the only word we care about. Vuhu Shashalkon Lishtias Memem. It has to be that the reason why you cooked it, or the reason why it was put in the liquid, is because you cared to cook, to eat, to drink the liquid. So for example, let's say, again, it used to be in the old days, people would drink pickle juice. That was the thing. People used to drink pickle juice. So let's say somebody says, okay, great, I'm going to drink this pickle juice. So you say, oh, you got to make Adama on that, because number one, it's soaked. It has been soaked there for way more than 24 hours. So it's just the same thing as cooking. So, and, you know, cucumbers are, it's pretty normal. The difference is that according to the Rambam, it has to be that the reason why it was put in that liquid in the first place was because my plan was to eat the liquid. And because my plan was to eat the liquid, then it would require a brei prei adama when I eat the liquid. So when we make soups, so obviously our plan is to actually eat the liquid, so the liquid would be a brei prei adama. By a can of pickles, even though it's true, the pickle remains in the brine for days and weeks and months and years and who knows how long, but because nobody, when they first put that pickle in the brine, did they expect for any crazy person to drink the pickle juice, so therefore one would never have to make a hadama on the juice, you would make a regular shahakal. So again, going back over our rules, it has to be that the vegetable is cooked into the water. It has to be normal for the vegetable to be cooked in water. And it has to be that the reason why I cooked the vegetable in water was in order because I wanted to drink the liquid. But now here comes the last rule. The last rule is on page 16. Yeah, 16. You'll see that on the left-hand side, again, where the Beis Yosef is a base, he's talking about water that is cooked vegetable. So again, we'd imagine the same thing, no question. You cook a vegetable, of course, you would have to make adama, but then all of a sudden, he throws in, if you go a little bit down, the first word in the line is Vaharash. It's a little bit down from the beginning of that Beis Yosef. It's the third wide line in that Beis Yosef. He says, Vaharash, kasa b'tshuva, the time of demai the shulki, the reason why when you cook a vegetable, the water is like a vegetable, is mishum, the ikr bishulam bishvil yirakos. It has to be that I'm cooking the vegetable for the sake of the vegetable as well. So now you've just changed, you've minimized the case greatly. Because, okay, the only time you're going to make a hadama on soup, assuming, again, if there's vegetables in the soup, there's no question you make a hadama on soup. But let's say I just eat the broth, right? You have somebody, there are plenty of people out there that all they want to eat is the broth. They don't want any of the actual vegetable in the soup. So now, the only way that broth is going to be adama is in the following situations. Number one, the vegetable has to be cooked in there, not just placed in there, not just not just squozing in there, whatever, squeezing in there. It has to be that it's actually cooked in there. And only if it's cooked in there would one actually get a hadam. That's rule number one. Rule number two is besides it there, it has to be that it's normal to cook that vegetable in water. And only if it's normal to cook that vegetable in water, only then would one make a brei pri dama on the water. Number three, it has to be that I actually, my plan was when I did it, it was for the sake of the juice. And because it was for the sake of the juice, meaning my plan is to drink the juice, so then again, it would be a brei pri dama. And then number four, it has to be that I'm not just throwing out these vegetables, I'm not just cooking the vegetables and then I'm going to go throw them out. It's that I want to improve the vegetables, I want to eat the vegetables, so then only then would it actually be a brei pri dama. So as long as you're cooking soup normally, so then even though it's true, somebody else, you know, like my daughter, she only wants the broth in the soup. So if she does that, she would make a hadam on it, even though there's no actual piece in there, because again, when we, it was, you know, whatever, potatoes, whatever they were, things that were normal to be cooked, and they were cooked, and the rest of us think that it actually improves the vegetable, and it was for the water as well, so only in that situation would one actually make a hadam. Now, just to compare this for one second, is that when you have other things, if let's say, if the other place where this is going to come up is when you, again, I don't know what the verb is for this, but is when you're going to blend your soup, right? The zhuzher thingers. Immersion blenders, yeah, whatever. So I guess there's some verb on there. So when you do this, so then again, you're going to cook whatever you're going to cook. You're going to cook, you cook your zucchini in there. So now you cook your zucchini. It cooks there for a long time. So now once it's soft, I take my thing and I go ahead and do it. So now a zucchini also. So then that will be a hadama, even in a situation. Let's imagine a situation where you can't even tell it's a zucchini anymore. You did such a good job that nobody can even see that it's a zucchini. Again, there's no question. If there's zucchini in there, so you would make a hadama, meaning if there's really physical chunks of zucchini, there's a hadama. And there's no question is that it's clearly recognizable even after you judged it, and you could clearly see that's zucchini, so there's no question it would still be a hadama. But even if you did such a good job that there's nothing left, you can't see it's a zucchini, you can't see it's squash, you can't see it's sweet potato, you don't know what it is. Again, the color doesn't matter. I don't know what it is because I don't see any pieces in there. So then since these things are normal to be cooked, and I'm cooking them for the benefit of the fruit, the vegetables, and I'm cooking them for the benefit of for the liquid as well, so then even though I don't see any piece of zucchini there, even though I don't see any piece of squash there, it would still be a hadama because you've kept up all these rules, and therefore one would still have to make a hadama even on soup that's judged. The only time it wouldn't be is if, let's say, you take a fruit soup. So by fruit soups, again, strawberries and the like, so those really aren't normal to be eaten cooked. They're really normally eaten raw. So then, then in all situations, the strawberry soup, because it's not going to be recognizable that it's strawberry soup. And again, when I say recognizable, I don't mean that, oh, I can see the pits, I can see this. It has to be that the body of the fruit is still there. As long as the body of the fruit is not there, so then it would be called not recognizable. If it's called not recognizable, so then by strawberries, it's not normal to cook strawberries, and therefore, on strawberry soup, one would make a shahakal, which is different than, let's say, zucchini soup, where you do the very same thing, or sweet potato soup, where you do the very same thing, and you go through the very same process, and you judge it, so then it's actually going to be a hadama, not a shahakal, because then those things, the squashes, the zucchinis, they're normal to be cooked, and since they're normal to be cooked, therefore they would be a hadama. Yeah?
Wow. Chicken soup with vegetables in it. If you want chicken soup, you just put in the vegetables.
Well, you probably want everything, to be fair. Like most of, I mean, you want everything. There's nothing there that, so probably.
I'd
make a hadama. I'd make a hadama. Again, it would depend how much vegetables are really there. It depends how much water is really there. All these things would really, how much chicken is there. But in general, if you would ask me what's my safer bet, I would probably more likely, I mean, I don't really eat chicken soup in the first place. But if I would, I would probably I'd make a hadama in it. It's not my thing. I like thicker soups, not thin soups. It's just a funny thing. But I would make a hadama and not a shahakal. If there's a lot of vegetables in there, yeah.
You pureed vegetables.
Oh, that's the word we're looking for, pureed.
Right, and now we're not cooked.
Now we're not cooked.
You want to make a smoothie.
So if you, okay, great. I'm glad you got in there. If you just puree a vegetable and you don't cook anything, so then again, it will depend, is the body of the fruit recognizable? If somebody would look at it, could they tell me that this is an X, a Y, or a Z? But just to say, it has to be that the body, this is where people make a mistake. They say, well, of course, I can tell that that's a strawberry. You can tell it's a strawberry because it's red. So you've already knocked down, well, no, but even if you show it to me, can you tell me what the strawberry? But the reason why I know it's a strawberry is either because it's red. So I'm already down to only two or three vegetables, fruit in the world. And I see those pits, I see the different things. So through my intuition, I can tell you that's a strawberry. Smell it. But it has to be that the body of the fruit is still recognizable. If if the body of the fruit is not recognizable, so then it loses its bracha. Now, if you don't cook it and you just puree it, so then if the body of the fruit is not recognizable, then it would be a shahakal. It would totally lose its bracha no matter what. Because once you cut something up, and because of your cutting up that thing, it loses its recognition, so then the bracha goes down to a shahakal. Now, but it should be noted that if it loses recognition for some other reason, potato chips. The reason why you can't tell it's a potato is not because you cut it up. That you would have been able to tell. It's because it's deep fried and this and that. So then those still would require a hadama, because the reason why it loses recognition is not due to the cutting up of it. It is due to the processing of it. But only if. But what if it loses?
The normal way to process.
What?
But also with the normal way.
That's also part of it.
You know that you recognize
right. All right. I mean, again, that would be a question: who has to recognize it? I have to recognize it, or is someone in Afghanistan may never have seen it.
Yeah. Corn chips.
So corn chips, they smash the corn. So it's not just that they cut the corn up and right. So if you smash it up, so then the reason why a corn chip is not recognizable is not because of the process, because of the smashing up of it. So then it goes down to a shahakal. As opposed to a potato chip, the reason why you can't tell it's a potato chip is not because of the smashing of it, it's because of the frying of it. So then it would remain a hadam.
So corn chips are
a
shahakal?
I would make a shahakal. I do. I shouldn't say I would. I may not eat chicken soup, but I do eat corn chips. And those, yes, those I would make a shahakal on. Yeah, I would make a shahakal on. But yeah, but for sure, if you...
Pringles
had to make a shakal as well, because they totally mash it. Right, they make it into a flour, and then after they make it into a flour, they re-put it in a flour. It's not flour, it's potato. But then they remold it. It would be like if you would have a chip, if you would have, instead of like a little cookie thing, you have like a chip mold, and then you would pour your potato starch and Pesach in there, you would make Pringles. So, but it didn't, they cut it down, they mashed it enough that it was unrecognizable for a moment. Once they make it unrecognizable, even if they re-recognize it, it would all be, it'd also be a shakal. All right, we'll stop over here.